Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino.
And the Music Road Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are so glad you're listening in. If you could just see the circus we just did, went through here
in
to get
five
ready
minutes,
for, in 5 minutes.
We are a well-oiled machine, let me tell you. hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to join in the conversation. Log on to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow and chat alongside with us.
That's true, and you can also do that on Twitter. Don't forget Twitter, @TheMusicRowShow. Also Instagram, @TheMusicRowShow. And just in case you haven't heard, all you Dish subscribers out there, you can now watch us on TV because now Blue Highways TV is on the Dish Network.
That's right. 23 million homes can now watch us on the TV.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That is, and I'm sure they all are.
Every single one of them. Know what's good for them.
4 times a week on Channel 73 all over the country, and for the first time ever, you know, we've been on TV for the last 3 years, but yeah. Never... here in Nashville.
Yeah, people never believed us.
No, so yeah. We're real excited. If you have Dish, tune us in.
Yeah.
So there you go. Hino, tell our listeners about these handsome gentlemen sitting with us this evening.
They are. Look at them.
Look at that.
Every one of them. Well, we have a group of guys joining us tonight who are so very fun. I can hardly stand it. We've got the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band here with us tonight. And these fine gentlemen are bringing smiles to audiences everywhere with their own special brand of Tennessee mountain music and old-time music and even older jokes, I hear. They're beloved and shameless purveyors of old-time music, and they're entertainers with a capital N. They are the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band, and we are so thrilled to say welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yeah! Woo-hoo! The crowd goes crazy. Well... the crowd goes mild. Thank you guys for being here. Let's start out by getting educational, if y'all don't mind. For the couple of our listeners who are not familiar with jug bands or old-time music, can you tell us what makes a jug band, and what is old-time music, and how is it different than bluegrass to the layperson?
Well, come on up to that mic there.
Yeah. Well, I would say...
That was a lot of questions.
So it's like a three-part question. So I'm glad to answer that question.
Thank you. And this is Mike talking right here.
Mike Armistead right here. Little Mikey.
That's right.
So jug band started back in the riverboat days, Cincinnati and Memphis. And it was just basically out of necessity, people making music out of whatever they could get.
Right.
It evolved into early string band music, basically. So they had stringed instruments and things like that. And then we kind of... the difference between string band music and bluegrass, I would say, is that don't play the banjo, the Dixieland style, or the Scruggs style.
Okay.
We play it the Leroy Troy style.
Okay.
Yeah, and he can play Dixieland too, but we prefer him not.
Understood.
No, I'm kidding. He does great. And I would say that's just the difference in the how it evolved and what the difference is. It's not really... bluegrass and old-time string band music, there's not a whole lot of difference there.
Is there to the purists? Like if they're going to the festivals, you know, they're...
Yeah, absolutely. But I will tell you this. When we go to bluegrass festivals, it's more of a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
They've been sitting there and just being pounded.
Bluegrassed.
Yeah, bluegrassed.
Uh-huh.
And then we come up, and then we're more like a... breath of fresh air in the spring or after a hard winter, however you want to look at it.
Awesome. Right.
So
that's funny.
Well, there you go. Do you feel smarter, Hino?
I do feel smarter. Now, your album is called Lester's Loaf and Lounge.
It's
brand
it.
New project that just came out. And Lester, your dad, who's sad to say no longer with us, but he had a place called Lester's Loaf and Lounge.
Yeah.
Tell us about this magical place and how it came to be a tribute to your dad as the title cut of this project.
Well, the place is it's an old country store. It went out of business in the 30s, tragically, because the owner was axed to death.
Yikes.
Somebody axed him about some moonshine.
Yeah, oh, somebody, yeah. said, I need to ask you about some moonshine. And next thing you know, he's in parts out behind the store.
Right. Yeah.
It laid vacant for many years. And then we moved there in the 70s, and before a notable restaurant started buying up old country store signs and putting them on their restaurants, we were going around to these back roads and stuff, and we kind of fixed it up as an old country store. And then it evolved. We would have pickings in there. You know, there's, I mean, there's been some legendary nights there. And I now own the place and still carrying on the tradition.
Most excellent.
And it's is that's the name of it now?
Yeah. Oh, it's always been the Loafing Lounge.
Okay, but but now it's Lester's Loafing Lounge.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, normally we wait till the first, after the first break to get a song, but
They're looking
they're
itchy.
All
they're
here.
Looking antsy. Yeah.
They're all here. Would y'all let's get a song out of y'all? What do you say?
Yeah. Right. Hey.
You want to do one old shirt?
Yeah. If you're keyed up there.
Well, yeah. All
right. Just don't do any of that Dixieland stuff, okay?
Yeah, there's a jug. You can hand it to me when I ask for it. You can play the banjo.
Am I going to kick it off?
Well, if he's going to play the banjo.
Oh, that's right. Here.
So, as you can tell, we're a well-oiled machine.
We're going to fit right in. We're going to fit right in together. Look at this. So quick.
So this is kind of a tip of the hat. My dad always sang a song, and it's too good of a song. It's also, he learned it from Bashful Brother Oswald.
Okay.
And so I learned it from Oz and my dad. So it goes something like this right here. One old shirt is all I've got. A dollar bill is all I bring. Brought nothing with me into this world and take nothing to my grave. Oh, me, it's all mine. What's gonna become of me?
Got a standing ovation outside
man,
the fishbowl.
I think they were all dancing out there, too. That's awesome.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Man.
Well, okay, speaking of tributes to Lester, the Uncle Dave Macon Days have also honored him in another cool way. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Tell us about that.
Yep, they have the this is the first year that they awarded it. It's the Lester Armistead or Lester B. Armistead Jug Band Competition Award.
Okay.
And the trophy is a jug, and it has his silhouette on it. And Ben and them people down there, if you've never been to the Uncle Dave Macon Festival, it's a wonderful place. They've done a great job with it down there, not just because of that, but that's one of many things. And this was the first year that they gave the award out.
That's fantastic. Sweet. And they'd actually, not only did they name it after him, but they kind of reinstated the award because it hadn't been around for a while, right?
Right. It's been, I don't know exactly how many years that it hadn't been around, but there was inspiration there enough that they named it after my dad.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, ain't it cool?
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I like
that. Now, you each have your own special connection with the authentic original purveyors of this kind of music. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I should probably just let the guys themselves
absolutely.
Tell.
Yeah.
But I'll give mine and we'll hand it over and just go around. So when I was a kid growing up, my grandfather and Roy Acuff and Howdy Forrester, they were all, and Bashful Brother Oswald, they were all friends. Matter of fact, they had a bait shop that they owned together up in Gillettsville. And so as a kid growing up, I would go home and there would be Oz sitting on the front porch or Roy Acuff. And as a kid, I just thought that was what, you know.
Everybody's house was like that.
Yeah. They'd be picking and stuff. And so Oz was a dear friend, all you know, for many years to our family, and he was great. And so I got to learn the Smoky Mountain music from him firsthand.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact, that was where I met Mike Webb, who owns Oz's Dobro now, Herman. And Mike's played with some legends too, Wimley, and tell the rest.
Hey, well, you can pull that mic up a little higher. There you go.
I met...
it won't
easier
stay.
Said than done.
It won't stay, but you can try.
I probably echo Mike's response there. I met Bashful Brother Oswald at the Grand Ole Opry back in the 90s, early 90s. And I was interested in playing the Dobro, and he kindly took me in. And I was interested in playing the mountain-style Dobro that he played, not necessarily the bluegrass style and the role that Josh introduced to the bluegrass scene, but just the old mountain style, Hawaiian style that Bashful Brother Oswald played, and we got to be great friends. And I would go over to his house, and he would sit and teach me the old tunes that he played in Roy Acuff's band, and as well as a solo artist in his own right over the years. And I was just real thankful for those times, and just to be associated with him, and just to learn about the history that he had lived, you know, and made all those years.
Mm-hmm. So sweet. Wow. Ernie? How about you, Ernie? Ernie?
Well, I knew Roy Acuff, but I just knew him, you know, from around, and Oswald too. But I was Bill Monroe's last bluegrass boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was. And I was also, incidentally, I grew up in New York, so I didn't even have the Porter Wagoner Show or any of that stuff growing up. We had Pop Goes the Country and stuff like that. But my dad was from West Virginia, and he was a great singer and guitar player. He passed away in 01, but I learned everything I know from him. And we had a group up in New York called the Sykes Boys. And Reno and Harold came up there. I knew them from the town used to run a show. And they came up every summer from the time I was about 13. So I got to know the Reno brothers. And I got to know Don and Bill Harrell and all them really well, too. And just sort of decided that's what I wanted to do because of them and a lot of other people. But that's basically where I came from.
That's fantastic. Leroy, what you got? Come on up here.
Oh, I got plenty.
You got thimbles all over you.
Keep it short. Yeah, now, when you get done with me, you just say enough.
Well, I'll do this right here.
All right.
Okay.
So I was born and raised here, my folks. We don't care about you. Okay.
I was born in a hospital. On a
stormy yes, night. I was.
It was dark and stormy.
Anyhow, well. I grew up here, and my dad worked down here on Trinity Lane at Gardner's Auto Parts. Biggest little parts house in Dixie. And he knowed all these stars, Benny Martin and Acuff and them. And so I was acquainted with these folks.
Everybody's sitting down here.
When I was a kid, but there used to be a store up on Longhalla Pike in Gillettsville, Tennessee. And they used to play music up there every Tuesday night. And I was always interested in learning the fiddle and the banjo. You know, my favorite banjo picker was Earl Scruggs.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, Daddy got to taking me up to this Hardison's grocery store on Tuesday nights. And there'd be like the McCormick brothers and Roy Acuff and Oswald and
It's okay, guys. We're getting paid by the hour. This is fine.
Yeah, we're doing all right, yeah.
But Acuff taught me a couple of tunes on my fiddle.
Yeah?
Sitting back here in the feed store. But
what were they?
One was called Shoot That Turkey Buzzard, and the other one was called Lee Highway Blues.
Yeah. Nice. That's one of my favorites, yeah.
Yeah.
And a Curly Fox, too.
Yeah. Anyhow, but my first professional gig was with the Bales Brothers. You know, they were early Opry act back in the 40s.
In the 40s.
You'll take your word.
Yeah.
And, sure.
Anyhow.
Okay, I remember them. I used to.
So I went overseas back in 1982 with them and played in Holland. And we played all of Bill Monroe's festivals that year. Probably my biggest influence was a feller named Cordell Kemp, who played the banjo, and I met him in 83, and he learned to play from Uncle Dave Macon, who was the king of the banjo pickers,
right?
The Grand Ole Opry's first big star. And Cordell lived up at a difficult Tennessee, and I learned a lot from him.
Leroy, I feel like I know you so well now. I feel like, you know, maybe we spend Thanksgiving together, but we do have to take a break.
We do, unfortunately, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll get more from you, I promise. Right. But you're listening to the Music Row Show. We're here with the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band, and we're just holding on by the skin of our teeth here. These guys are great. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Around. They come from near and far with fiddles and guitars and fill the air with good old country sound. Oh, and Armistead.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That is Lester's Loafin' Lounge off of this CD right here, Lester's Loafin' Lounge, the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band.
And Leroy wasn't finished.
Oh, I know.
And then Cordell wouldn't go out after dark anymore.
Oh, that goofy Cordell.
He wouldn't stay out past 9 o'clock.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you again for all of that.
Yeah.
I feel bad that the audience didn't get the whole thing.
They missed all that part during the commercial break. Man.
There is.
Okay. If we can, a big part of this music support comes from festivals, I believe. Is that a true statement? With the old time, a big part of the music support comes from festivals, and people are really into the old timey festivals.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's the only support we got.
Well, talk about that community, and what are some tips for breaking into the festival scene as maybe a new band?
Ernie's got some hoes that support him.
Way to go, Ern.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Well, yeah. I guess the first thing, you got to have a little bit of talent, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Practice.
Yeah, you got to keep your price way down there.
Ours just went down.
Yeah.
No, I was just kidding about that.
Yeah.
And
no
people. Most definitely. Yeah. No people.
Right.
So networking's a big deal.
TV does help, you know.
Right.
People seen you on TV or heard you on the radio. That helps. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we enjoy them festivals. It's that's kind of like our Grand Ole Opry, you know, going out and playing for them folks. And
they really love it.
Yeah.
They really do.
Right. Yeah. This is something else. I'm so distracted. I'm hanging on your every word, Leroy, but I'm distracted by the...
You're not any more distracted than I am. I'm the one that's got to hold the thing up.
Well, for those of us who can't see us right now, which is... most everybody.
Let's explain this.
Leroy is wearing a contraption that he calls the washing machine.
The agitator,
I'm sorry. How did you come up with the agitator? And could you maybe give us some sample sounds that
this
beast makes?
In a few minutes. Once Mikey starts bellering out here in a minute. But this scrub board here, or wash board, is I designed this after the one that they used in the jug band with Roy Acuff's band. Robert Lunn, if you ever heard of him, the talking blues man, he was a regular on the Opry years ago, but he played the scrub board in Acuff's, what they called Pap and the Jug Band. Roy Acuff had three different acts. It was the Smoky Mountain Boys, and then they had what they called the classical routine, where Jimmy Riddle played a Hot Canary or something like that on the harp, and Joe Zinkin played the bass, and Pat Wilson on the guitar, and they done classical stuff, but it was comical stuff, and and kind of like Spike Jones. And then they had Pap and the Jug Band. And so it was three different acts there in one. But anyhow, this is patterned after the washboard that Robert Lund played with the...
Patent pending.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we get a song since you have it all strapped on? I feel bad making you carry all that weight. So let's get something.
Boy, you got to carry
the shades
that
on.
It's like, tired of carrying them in my pocket.
Oh, look at that. Now he means business.
All right, ready? Here we go.
Sour Belly Trio.
Night, crawled into bed by morning light. Heard this big old ringing sound. Woke up when the sun went down. Had this pounding in my head. Thought I dang near woke up dead. Little bitty woman with a dainty hand. Sure swing a big old frying pan. Sure swing a big old frying pan. Hard.
Bad.
She came home working all day, eyes laid out there in the shade, feet propped up, cocoa beer. She said, Troy, get over here, get them groceries in that house. Boy, you better not open that mouth. If you do, best understand, I'm gonna get that frying pan. I'm gonna get that frying pan.
Big black frying pan.
Give her that $20 bill. Wouldn't be eating these headache pills. Listen up, boys, what I say. Buy your gal a microwave. Check them cabinets quick as you can. Get rid of that old frying pan. All that big old frying pan.
Big black frying pan.
Big, big, big fries.
Now, we're going to have to make all of them sign releases now.
I know. So stick around after the show, yes.
This is brought to you by our legal department.
oh, man.
Wow, this is becoming, I think, my new favorite show ever.
I think so.
In our 8 years on the air.
I think so.
I love this. Okay.
Now, Mike, you actually have a pretty interesting day job working for the fire department with the hazmat team. That's pretty amazing. Tell us about that.
Man, you know, I wear a lot of hats. Raise goats. I'm a farmer. We do fire. Yeah, go ahead, y'all. Take a seat. I'll be a while. But yeah, do hazmat with special ops with the Nashville Fire Department, and also helping a good friend of mine, Charles Robert Bone, running for mayor. That is really busy,
right?
That's why we're voting for Bone. Goldsville's connected to Madison. Yeah. Whatever. So. We're doing that. I make posters.
Uh-huh.
I do posters. And so really the firefighting part is very small.
Okay.
But I mean, I love it.
Well, because there's not hazmat situations on a daily basis.
Well, you'd be, there's a lot more than you think.
This is brought to you by the Cumberland River, by the way. We'd like to thank you all for enjoying our clean waters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Nashville has, I will say this, Nashville... is very special because when you talk about hazmat, hazmat was invented here.
Really?
It was. And back in the late 70s. So the whole thing
I did
across
not know
the
that.
World.
Did you invent it?
No.
Okay.
A guy named Harry White and Dr. Kramer and Woods, those.
Did you invent it? He was like in middle grade school back then.
I was waiting for him to say Mr. Haz.
What is wrong
invented
with
it?
Yeah,
or
Mr.
Haz. Mr. Matt or something.
He was the Haz-matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, the Mad Hatter.
There you go.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But yeah, I wear many hats.
Very nice. And Ernie, I understand, if you could come on up to the mic here, I understand that you are one of the, one of only two, I think, in the world of hand trumpet players. Is that?
Oh, yeah. I don't know the other one, but I do play the hand trumpet, yeah.
Any self-respecting person would never admit to it to begin with, so that's why I didn't know the other one.
Well, yeah. I'm a recovering accordion player, so I have no shame.
Oh,
so,
that's all right.
So
in Nashville, recovering is a good thing to be.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to know what a hand trumpet sounds like.
You want a hand trumpet?
Yeah.
What would you like to hear?
Oh, Moon River.
And it got a DeVita.
It looked like he was about to burst a blood vessel or something.
I'm sorry, I sweat, but if I don't, I'll explode.
Audrey Hepburn is so happy right now.
She is.
She really, really is.
My goodness.
That's the first time anybody ever asked me to play it on my hands. But
well, if we can, before we have to take another break, and it's a really quick story, but years ago when I lived in Portland, Oregon, the people that lived above us in the apartment was a little old-time group, and they played fiddle and banjo. See what I did there? They knew I played guitar, and they said, hey, come play guitar. And I'm watching them. I'm going, oh, this will be easy. That's it was the hardest thing. Rhythm guitar for this type of music is so critical, and it's about the hardest thing I've ever done, and I was very, very poor at it.
You ain't telling me nothing.
Yeah, I mean, but talk about that. It's kind of like the entire, I don't know, talk about rhythm guitar and old time, because it's a whole different animal than just strumming.
It is, and whenever I'm playing, I'm usually following and try to mimic what the bass player's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a mistake.
Which is a tremendous mistake.
Yeah. Right.
You do not want to do that, because he's all time messing up.
Always.
But I do try to stay with him.
Right.
And that kind of gives more of a percussive feel to it. And I think that's what, you know, separates the bluegrass rhythm versus what we do.
Right.
Although my favorite rhythm players are bluegrass players.
Okay.
Charlie Waller.
So who are they following then?
Who knows?
Not Ernie. Okay.
No.
All
maybe
right.
Ed Ferris or somebody like that.
Gotcha. Well, anyways, a lot of respect for that. It's tough to do.
It is. Tell these guys. Don't tell me.
Well,
yeah, they need to start respecting you, right? My goodness.
Time for commercial.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break, but we are having a great time with the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band. Their brand new project is called Lester's Loafin' Lounge, and we're going to be back in just a few minutes on the Music Row Show.
All right, Troy, get up here and tell them the rest.
My chances are greater, I thought, with him gone. You forget him, and our love will move along. But one kiss told me I'm still just a friend. No, you don't have to be present to wait.
Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's You Don't Have to Be Present to Win. Great tune off of the brand new project by the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band. It's right there. Their album's called Lester's Loafin' Lounge, and you can get that everywhere fine music is sold, iTunes and Amazon and places like that.
Well,
I'm sure
next week on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
Next week on iTunes.
Okay,
cool.
But it just got released this yesterday. You guys had a big Wing Ding, sold out Wing Ding. Right?
Yeah, it was.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I love how they all nod their heads. It's like, we're on the radio, guys.
We have cameras in here, too, so yeah. Somebody can see us.
Yeah, the cameras are all pointed at their navels, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what we got here.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, how about we get another tune out of you? You guys feel like playing something?
All right.
This is a true song here.
Yeah,
a
true Mikey story. Mikey wanted me to sing this. I don't want to do it because it's so hard to do. And if I mess it up, it's going to go out all over the nation, or at least the county. But he wants to hear it real bad, so I'm going to do it. If I mess up, I'm going to quit.
All right. All right. Just quit.
Many, many years ago when I was 23, I married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair red. My father fell in love with her and soon them two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. My daughter was my mother cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother of Winter's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so. Son who kept them on the run. He became my grandchild, for he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I'm her grandchild. And every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild. For now I have become the strangest case you ever saw. As husband to my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It sounds funny, I know, but it really is so.
Thank you.
Woo! All right.
Wow, wow. Leroy right there.
That is a heck of a tune.
I want to talk about the recording process of this CD, because Keith Richards' autobiography talks a lot about how the Stones recorded early on, and how it was more about miking the room and the performance rather than each individual instrument and everything. And it sounds like you guys kind of went for the old style of recording too. Is that true?
Well, no, we didn't have anything to do with it. We just went into we recorded it in a drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Over in Old Hickory Fry. Do what?
It's a studio now, but it was a drugstore.
Oh, yeah, it's a studio now.
So the story drugs. Changes.
No drugs.
Maybe you tell it, Mikey.
No, you know, Ernie's already
you booked
there.
The gig.
We recorded live to 2-inch analog tape. We recorded the main tracks, and then we dumped that all to digital, and we did all the overdubs on digital, and then Okay. We mixed it back to analog.
Oh, that's very confusing.
So it's an ADA project rather than ADD, and then
or ADHD.
Yeah, ADHD or something. But anyway, it's AC/DC, got extra warmth
something.
And
yeah.
All kinds of stuff that most digital recordings don't have. So
right.
In fact, I'd like to hear this on vinyl, actually, myself.
Oh, yeah.
Vinyl?
That's
well,
yeah,
a lot
right?
of people do that, but now they're taking a digital record, they're taking a digital master and putting it on vinyl, and they just have a digital master on vinyl, not a nice
right.
analog master on vinyl, which is big and fat and sounds great.
Sure.
Know? That's all.
That's all. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I was watching some of your videos. You have a great one for Open Up Your Mouth and Let the Moon Shine In. The only problem was I was watching it with my 6-year-old boy, and it was fun, but unexpectedly violent. So,
right.
I mean, where did that come from? And
well,
we really didn't
have anything to do with it. We were with a sponsor at the time, and they paid for this –
Was it an ammo sponsor? Or
no, you would think. Okay. No, but I'll tell you the background. And he's a wonderful film guy. He flew in from L.A., and he does videos, and this will make sense to you now.
Sure.
He does rap videos for Jay-Z. He's done Madonna videos. You know, matter of fact, when he flew in from Los Angeles to do this video, he had just finished doing a rap video where it was a lot of that stuff going on.
Violence.
And we figured that we thought we had a better storyline, you know, and we pitched it to him, and he was like, no, people will get this. It'll be funny. You all just over a case of moonshine, and you all end up being spirits
at the end.
Of course, I was against it. I was really against it, and I said right from the beginning, I don't want to do this with the gun or anything. And they said, oh, come on, do it. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. Unless I'm the one that gets to shoot the sheriff.
In all fairness, it's no worse than anything you turn on television and say.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
No. That's true. I'm just teasing, really.
It wasn't the storyline we were looking for.
No.
Right.
I wrote the song, and it wasn't anything like what we envisioned. No.
Well, we're gonna take one more break, but then we're going to talk about the songwriting and writing the original songs, Mike. So we're going to be right back with you. You're listening to the Music Bro Show.
No, we should also mention that this segment is brought to you by our good friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs.
Is that this segment?
That is this one.
I love Toyota of Cool Springs.
That's true.
Oh, man,
oh, man. They do great work.
Well, Scott and I are both Toyota drivers, and we've been going to this place for a while, just get our cars worked on and all that other stuff and that you do when you have a car. And they're just great. I mean, not only do they have unlimited time and miles on their warranties on every car that unlimited time and miles. It is crazy.
Crazy.
They're just great to deal with.
Well, and then the other thing is, you know, my wife normally hates going in to get the car worked on. I'm out of town a lot.
Right.
And because
That part she likes.
Yeah. But to get the car worked on, sometimes she feels like they're trying to sell her stuff. But she actually loves going there. They treat her with a lot of respect, and she appreciates it. She likes what they're selling.
That's right. You should ask for George. He's the owner. He'll take great care of you. You can find him on the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band. All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band, and that is a tune called The Trombone Rag.
Can I just say something?
Off their brand new project called Lester's Loafin' Lounge.
This CD sounds really good on WSM radio,
doesn't it,
boys?
They should play a lot more of it.
First I've heard it.
Really?
Remember that. It sounded even better on the Opry stage.
Would sound great on the Opry stage.
Just saying.
If only we knew somebody.
I know a guy. No, I don't.
Yeah.
They don't talk
to us anymore.
Before the break, we were going to talk with Mike Webb, who does an awful lot of the original writing for Lester's Loafin' Lounge and the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band. Talk about old-time music from a songwriting point of view. Are there rules or criteria that need to be met for the genre, and how do fans embrace the new music?
Now, Mike does a great impersonation of Porter Wagner, so answer that question like Porter Wagner would.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I try to keep in mind when I'm writing a song, you know, you got to live it, number one. And, Hank Williams was such a good writer, and he wrote about things that were so simple. And that's what I try to do. I try to find something like, for instance, some of the songs that is on this album. The story was already there. And I wrote it down on paper. And
all that's missing is the shiny suit. I'm just saying.
And man, it's just good country writing. And if there's anybody out there that likes to write songs, why, give me a shout. I'd sure like to find a co-writer somewhere. Sean Camp, if you're listening, son, give me a call.
Sean Camp.
Well, absolutely. Thank you so much, Mike Webb, a.k.a. the Ghost of Porter. Wow.
Wow.
Well, we should get one more song out of these guys. We're really making them work overtime, aren't we? Do we want to move that mic again?
I can sure. Yeah, all right.
There we go. Oh,
he was almost doing that backward thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah. We're ready. Okay, we anytime go. You are. Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. Did we wake you?
On a Greyhound bus. Oh, Lord, I'm traveling this morning. I'm going to Shreveport down to New Orleans. Been traveling these highways. I've been doing things my way. It's been making me lonesome, Audrey and me. Now her hair was jet black, and her name was Codeine. Oh, she was a cream of the Basin Street Queens. She got tired of that snowy white dream, tired of living lonesome, Audrey and me.
All right, she's getting there,
we got together and we cashed their sweets. Gave them to a beggar who was rumbling through the streets. There's no escaping a snowy white dream, because he's tired of living
Very, very nice.
Shad, I almost had to fan you down there. You were on fire there.
Just one spark from being completely
blazed. Man, so quick, we only have a couple minutes left. What is the biggest benefit of performing in overalls all the time?
It's comfortable.
Comfortable?
Yeah.
And they give us our clothes.
Yeah,
Pointer. Oh, well, there's that.
That's the biggest benefit.
Yeah, Pointer is a sponsor.
Well, you know what? Might as well give them a shout-out. Who's that now?
Pointer Brand Clothing. I think they're the only...
One of two.
Still made in the United States. From the fabric all the way down to the zipper.
Look at that.
Man, made in Tennessee at that.
114 years.
That's right.
All right.
Bristol, Tennessee.
Yeah, Bristol Tennessee.
Well, there you go.
I'll be dadgum. Okay, well, other than money and chicks, what's the allure of old-time music to musicians?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know what it is to other musicians, but I wouldn't play with another band. I love these guys, and it's this right here is a brotherhood as far as
nobody
I'm
else would have you.
Well, I know, but I swear, this group
You've
right here...
You killed off all the other ones.
Well, this group right here, though, is a family, and I wouldn't... This is the
it's feeling like
be.
A family. Yeah, good for
are.
You.
Yeah, we sure are.
Good for you.
That's awesome.
We put the fun in dysfunctional.
Yes, you do. Okay, website. Have we even given out their website?
No, we probably should.
Let's hear it.
FaceWeb.
TennesseeMafiaJugBand.com.
Yeah, TennesseeMafiaJugBand.com.
Let's go hit that like button on the FaceWeb.
Okay, I'm going to go do that right now.
Yeah.
You haven't done it already?
I probably did, but not under my real name.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Right.
I know you want to hit the love button, but they don't have it yet, so just hit the like.
Okay.
And that's on Facebook, and then TennesseeMafiaJugBand.com.
Perfect. And Fantastic. You can buy their music. You can buy it there at that place, at that website. Also at iTunes starting tomorrow.
Next week sometime.
Friday. And, of course, Amazon and all those other great places. Go check it out. It's a great, great CD. And if you
and
get
while
it,
you're there, check for Mike Webb. Leroy Troy entering Sanchez solo CDs as well.
There you go.
There you
that.
Go.
Man.
All right.
You'd almost think Ernie's done radio before.
Almost. Oh. But more than we have. Well, thanks for coming around, guys. We loved that you came with us. Hey, check out themusicrowshow.com, and we'll see you next week on The Music Row Show.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.